Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
We're fearfully and wonderfully made, are we not? Amen? Amen. Well, I wanted to come to you this morning, and I wanted to correct something. We've had the old saying ever since I've been old enough to remember, that children do not come with instructions. Have you heard that? Okay, so have I. But you know what? It's a lie. It is a lie. Children do come with instructions. And you know what? I have the instruction book with me today, and it's called the Holy Bible. Amen? Amen. There are all through the Bible, I cannot tell you, it would take me the whole sermon to tell you how many examples that there is in this Bible and give you an account. But I chose one today, and the one that I chose was the example of Hannah. And you're going to find that in 1 Samuel. But first, as I was researching for my service today, for my sermon, I came across an article that it's kind of bittersweet, and it's a little bit harsh. But although I wanted this to be an uplifting joyful message today, we live in a world where I think that needs to be put on the back burner. I see so many children that are abused. I see so many mothers that are in great need of instruction. That today may not be as cheerful and joyful as it you might like it to be. So just bear with me. This article that I came across was by a man by the name of W.L. Caldwell. I don't know if anyone's heard of him. But he wrote this back in 1928, and this is what he said. He said, "We pause to pay honor to her who, after Jesus Christ, is God's best gift to men, mother. It was she who shared her life with us when yet our members were unformed. Into the valley of the shadow of death she walked, that we might have the light of life. In her arms was the garner of our food and the soft couch for our repose. There we nestled in the hour of pain. There was the playground of our infant glee. Those same arms later became our refuge and stronghold. It was she who taught our baby feet to go and lifted us up over the rough places. Her blessed hands weave the needle by day and night to make our clothes. She put the book under our arm and started us off for school. But best of all, she taught our baby lips to lisp the name of Jesus and told us first the wondrous story of a Savior's love." He went on to say that the pride of America is its mothers. There are wicked mothers like Jezebel of old. There are unnatural mothers who sell their children into sin. There are sin-cursed, rum-soaked, and abandoned mothers to whom their motherhood is exposed of their shame. And then he said, "I am glad to believe, however, that they are comparatively few in this class." Is that true? Are there merely a few unfaithful mothers? Maybe that was the case in 1928, but it's sadly not so today. High rates of illegitimacy and divorce reveal the contemporary abandonment of marriage, motherhood's foundation. Annual abortions number in the millions, which show the heart of many mothers have grown cold. Millions of children whose mothers allow them to see the light of day cower in the fear under angry abuse. And countless are the mothers who ignore, neglect, or abandon their children in pursuit of self-centered fulfillment. Motherhood is an inconvenient interruption into their lifestyle. For better or worse, mothers are the makers of men. They are the architects of the next generation. That's why the goal of becoming a godly mother is the highest and most noble pursuit of womanhood. God has especially equipped women for that very purpose. Amen? And he has equipped us in Jesus Christ. Women can experience profound satisfaction in that divinely ordained pursuit if they only go by the rule book. They can be who God created them to be. Ladies, please pay attention. There are so many who capture your interest today. They may tell you to seek a career or go buy more stuff. You know, surround yourself with things or pamper yourself because you're worth it. You know, and I know that you've heard all that. But don't buy what they're selling. It's a lie. With that in mind, I want to encourage you this Mother's Day to consider our biblical example of motherhood. It's Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, an emblem of the grace of womanhood. I was going to read the thing about Samuel, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to paraphrase it and break it down for you. I mean, about Hannah with Samuel. Now, Hannah became a mother by faith. In the opening verses of 1 Samuel, she is introduced as a childless woman. But God granted her a precious gift, and she became the mother of one of the greatest men who ever walked the earth. As you follow this account, you'll see the profile of a godly mother. She was devoted to her husband. Contrary to popular opinion, the most important characteristics of a godly mother is her relationship, not with her children, but with her husband. What you communicate to your children through your marital relationship will stay with them for the rest of their lives. By watching you and your husband, they are learning the most fundamental lessons of life, love, self-sacrifice, integrity, virtue, sin, sympathy, compassion, understanding, and most of all, forgiveness. Whatever you teach them about these things, right or wrong, is planted deep within their hearts. The emphasis on marriage was very evident between Echaniah and Hannah. They were dedicated to the faithful worship of God, as you will see in 1:3. And they were dedicated to loving one another, as you will see in 4-8. Their situation, being unable to have children together, was like an open wound. But it was an experience that drew out of Echaniah tender expressions of love for his wife. There are many kinds of mothers. There are mothers who have many children. There are mothers who have few children. And then there are barren mothers. Mothers who were never able to have children, but yet they became mothers of other children. Hallelujah. By example. At a particular low point in Hannah's discouragement, Echaniah comforted his wife with these words. He said, "Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? And why is your heart so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?" That may not seem like a tremendous comfort to you, but he was appealing to the satisfaction that they enjoyed in their marriage. Notice the effect. Hannah was encouraged, and she started to eat, and she started to drink again. And she went to the temple, and she sought the Lord. That's the kind of marriage to which a godly mother is devoted, dedicated to loving God, dedicated to loving one another. That's the soul where godly mothers grow and flourish. That's the soul. Our relationship with our partner, our husbands. She was devoted to God. Hannah struggled through acute pain and adversity. She was barren. She had to share with her husband with another woman. one who could produce children. And she had to endure the pain of that woman's cruelty. And though Hannah was tempted to despair, she received the encouragement of her husband, and she turned to the Lord and poured out her heart to him in humble devotion. Like many women today, Hannah struggled with the pain of infertility. She wanted God's best to be a mother. In her sadness, Hannah didn't explain, or she didn't complain to her husband. There was nothing that he could do about it. And she didn't fight back with Peniah, who tormented her. Instead, Hannah trusted God through prayer. Trusting God through prayer. Did you get that? That's a beautiful characteristic. She understood that God was the source of children and that God alone could alter her sterility. Her distinctive virtue was her constant faith. 1 Samuel 1:12 says, "It came about as she continued praying before the Lord. Her prayers were constant. She stayed there praying with a broken heart, pouring out tears. Hannah knew where to go with her problem." I'd like to pause right here. I don't know why the Lord wants me to share this with you, but this is very hard for me. I'd like to share an incident of my life with you. There was a time when I was a very young girl, around 24 years old. And this was, well, I won't tell you the year. But I was a single parent, or about to be a single parent, with two small children and one on the way. I had exhausted all of my finances because I was 6 months pregnant and my husband had left a month prior to that. And rent was due, electric was due. Well, we no longer had electricity. We were seeing by candlelight. And needless to say, I was devastated. My partner had run out on me, and I felt like I had no one. Well, in my devastation, I didn't know where to turn, and a young girl, the situation just seemed so hopeless. It just seemed like there was, I had no, parental help. I had, no way of providing for my babies, and I just felt like all was lost. So in my despair, there was only one thing that I knew to do. I had a Pentecostal grandmother who took me to church when I was very young. And I remember that she told me that, when all is, seems like it's lost, just get on your knees. And I did. I got on my knees. And all I could say was, "God, help me. Please help me." I couldn't say anything else. But help me, God. Just God, help me. Please help me. That's all I could say. Well, to make a long story short, my husband did return home. And it was very shortly after that he returned home and the lights got turned back on, the rent got paid and everything. So God, he heard my prayer. And so one day, very shortly thereafter, I was going to go make biscuits, and I reached up in the cabinet, and I pulled out a glass bowl and dropped it on the cabinet, and it broke, and it cut my finger half off, and it stuck me in my stomach and had a cut, and here I am 6 months pregnant, and my fingers cut halfway off, and I cut a cut in my stomach, and my husband rushed in, and he grabbed me up in his arms, and he rushed me out the door, and we headed to Southern Hills Hospital. When I got there, lo and behold, I went into labor. You know, before that prayer, it could have turned out a whole lot worse. You think? But guess what happened? I went into labor, the poor doctor, he didn't know what to do, so he took and wrapped a towel around my finger and he sent me off to Vanderbilt Hospital. And shortly thereafter, I gave birth to the most beautiful little 3-pound, 6-ounce girl that you ever laid your eyes on. And she has been the delight of my life. I could have gave up. I could have said, the heck with it. I can't do this. Forget it. I don't have any instructions. I don't know what to do. But you know what? The Holy Spirit came rushing in and he said, get out on your knees. And I did. And I'm so glad that I obeyed his voice. I'm so glad that I got on my knees, because if I hadn't, if I wouldn't have had that precious little baby girl today. And she has made all the difference in my life, praise God. Now Hannah, she wasn't going to give up either. As we go on, you'll be glad she didn't. Hannah was quite different from the women today who long for children. She wasn't seeking a child for her own fulfillment. Childless parents today spend millions on infertility treatments, medications, special diets, egg harvesting, and even in vitro fertilization. And they worry and they fret and they sin and their continued anxiety. Not Hannah. Hannah was willing from the start to give the child back to God. She wanted to give him back to God for life. It wasn't about her. It wasn't about getting what she wanted. It was about self-sacrifice, giving herself to the little life to give him back to the Lord. After coming to that place in her heart, after expressing her desires to the Lord in prayer, she experienced the peace of humble devotion to God. She went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Praise God. Hannah was devoted to her home. According to his perfect will, God gave Hannah a son, Samuel. And Achaniah had relations with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time, after Hannah had conceived, that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Ask and you shall receive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hannah named her son in remembrance of God's goodness, and she devoted herself to her mother responsibilities. She was fully committed to her home. The time came for one of the annual trip to Silo, and Achaniah came to Hannah to prepare her for the trip. Then the man Achaniah went up with all of his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice to pay homage and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go until my child is weaned. Then I will bring him. Then he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. When God gave the child, Hannah dedicated herself to raising him. She would be devoted to that task for several years, knowing her time with him was short. That's not different from what you see today, or is it? Women have babies today, and in a couple of months, they put them in a daycare center, and they take off for a job. Not Hannah. She was totally committed to stay home until that little life was trained. She had important work to do. It was called nursing, loving, cherishing, instructing. Hannah understood how vital those years were. Because in those young years, 90% of your child's personality is formed. She prepared him in those informative years for a long life of service to God. Such a high calling. Don't mistake her devotion to raising Samuel for the modern tendencies to make the child the center of the universe. That is not what Hannah did. Hannah discharged her responsibilities as a steward, and one day she had to give Samuel back. It wasn't about fulfilling her deepest needs through her child. It was about fulfilling her oath to God. It was about being faithful to her calling to be a godly mother. Today, mothers make the mistakes of trying to be our children's friend. We try to give them everything. We say, well, I want to give them more than what I had. Well, give them Jesus. If you didn't have Jesus, give them Jesus. Then you're giving them more than what you had. Equip your child with the things of the Lord, not the things of the world. Because these things of the world cannot save their soul. The only one that can save their soul is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Hallelujah. Why cannot mothers see that today? Why do they continue to go on about their life like their children do not have an eternal soul? Why do they act like today is the only day that matters? And why do they not understand that one day, not only are they going to stand before the Lord, but so is that precious child that they so love and covet? This life is temporary, mothers. It will soon pass. Eternity is forever. Your child will one day have to stand and make a choice. He or she will either have to choose life or death. Are you going to equip them to make the right choice? Are you going to be more concerned about if they get the things that they need today, or if they love you today? Don't make that mistake. Don't make that mistake. And if you're doing that, you're going to live with regrets. And I come to you today and I plead to you, mothers, don't be regretful. Don't grow old and be regretful. Have no regrets. Teach your child in the way they shall go, and they shall not turn from it. For those of you who have mothers that are still living, I asked you to recognize your mothers this Mother's Day for the things that she did well. Look in love beyond any of her shortcomings, because Lord knows we have many. But it does not change the love that we have for our children. Celebrate, rather, your mother's courage, her vision, her hospitality, and her spiritual giftedness. It's no wonder that women were so important to God's plan revealed in the Old and New Testament. It wasn't their natural qualities that made these women extraordinary, but it was the power of the one true God whom they worshiped and served. And the God to whom they were so committed is the same God who continues to mold and use ordinary people today. Mothers, I encourage you. No, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ that you, if you're not right with God, that you get on your knees like I did that day and you make it right with God. And then you make it right with your children. And you raise them in the admiration and the fear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the greatest gift that you will ever receive in this life, is when your little child comes up to you and said, "Mommy, I love Jesus." That's the greatest words that you could ever hear your child utter. So, in closing, I wrote a little thing here that might humor you. It's what mother kind of meant to me as I spelt out the word mother. It's a little juvenile, but hang with me. All right, M stands for the lovely memories we will cherish in our old days because we have been a mother. O is for the odd positions that those unfortunate souls found themselves in when they said unkind things about our children. T stands for the countless tears that we have cried for the salvation of our children. H is for the happiness that we would have never experienced had we been childless. And E stands for the education that we received along the way in our wondrous journey in motherhood. And R is for, because now we have that education, praise God, we are ready to become the most awesome grandmothers that you ever seen. Hallelujah! Thank you for listening to this humble message today. And I hope that all of you that are listening by internet will take a moment and meditate. Ask yourself, am I being a godly example to my children today? Is Jesus Lord of my life? Do my children know God by my example? Do my children know God at all? If any of those questions have a no answer, I want to encourage you to make them a yes answer. Come to Jesus today. Give him your life. Give him your children. And I guarantee you, no, not I, but the instruction book that you're going to read is going to give you all kinds of guarantees that you are going to be a blessed woman in the end. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.